Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
It's the 13th week, the beginning of the 13th week that the Tyranny Response Network has been in action and Christian Worldview has been being produced. We hope you've enjoyed the first 12 weeks and we hope to make the next 12 weeks even better. This is the show designed to help you to think, and here, sponsored here in Greenville, South Carolina, we're hoping to spread all across the United States. You already are on the internet through the World Wide Web webcast. You can log into through a link on policyofliberty.net, and you, your friends, your family can listen at home and office anywhere in the world, obviously anywhere in the United States. So if you do have friends in other parts of the country that are interested in listening to Christian Worldview, we would encourage you to tell them about the policyofliberty.net link and have them log on there so they can listen from the comfort of their home or office, even if they're outside of the radio range here in the upstate of Greenville, South Carolina. Still making improvements slowly but surely, and hopefully we're going to have our radio range and other things improving over time. But as we are a volunteer organization, we are working slowly with dedicated people working after their after hours and from their regular jobs. So do pray for us, and if you have any way that you can support us, even a small amount of support is greatly appreciated. $10 or $20 a month, $30 a month, even $100 a month. Those kinds of things are what listener-supported broadcasts are all about, what we need. If you are interested in supporting the show, please go to the homepage, policyofliberty.net, and you'll find there various links that you can, which will direct you on how you can support us. Well, we have a number of things going on in the news today, that's for sure. Should let you know, however, if you're getting ready to go to work, that right now in Greenville it's about 46 degrees. It's going to be going up, though, to 76 and sunny today. Should be just another outstanding and gorgeous, beautiful day here in Greenville, South Carolina. So if you're getting ready to go to work, be prepared for a beautiful day. A couple quick announcements. Want to remind everybody that tonight is the kickoff night for the 2005 Southern History Conference. Admission is free to this great event. It starts at 7 o'clock tonight at 211 White Oak Road in the Spanish-speaking church that you'll see there, and there'll be signs posted to direct people to the event. It's right off of North Pleasantburg Drive, not too far from Wade Hampton Boulevard, and basically right behind the Woodlawn Memorial Park. So stone's throw as well from the Times Examiner. If you go tonight, you'll be able to hear Pastor Carl Robbins talking about R.L. Dabney, the social conservative, from 7 to 7:45. And then Pastor John Weaver, after that, will be talking about the story of the Washington, D.C. Klan and their nefarious activities and how they affect your life and how they affected the lives of those in the great past of the South. So every night this week, through Thursday, you'll be having some great speakers from Greenville Theological Presbyterian Seminary, as well as from Pastor John Weaver. We encourage you all to go. Again, it's 211 White Oak Road. Admission is free, and it starts at 7 o'clock tonight. Hope you can get there. For those of you who can't make it, we'll be trying to rebroadcast the event later on the Tyranny Response Network so that those who can't make it will at least be able to hear the great talks about Southern heritage. I'd also like to give a plug for the Times Examiner this morning since it's so close to the event. You can give a call to Bob Dill at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. Or stop by and pick up a copy at 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville. Cost is $25 a year in-state, $27 a year for a subscription out-of-state. This is a bargain price, folks, because you get it delivered to your doorstep 52 weeks out of the year, and I don't even know how they pay the postage for that price. But if you're interested in reading the great columnists, as well as know something about Greenville, what's happening in Greenville from a conservative and or libertarian perspective, you need to get a hold of the Times Examiner. Give Bob Dill a call at 864-268-0576 to get your subscription started today. It may interest you to know that there is a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called The First Freedom. And a supporter of the show, Nelson Waller, offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com/First Freedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315. One other thing, as a matter of an announcement, the South Point Baptist Church is going to be hosting the Institute on the Constitution from April 11th through and every Monday evening thereafter for 12 consecutive weeks. They say you are cordially invited to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. If you're interested in attending this great free 30-minute and plus 30 minutes of question hour to talk about the Constitution and our great history and the vision of the Founding Fathers, please give Pastor Tony Romo a call at 269-1443 for information or to register. Pastor Tony Romo, 269-1443. Again, that's the Institute on the Constitution, going to be beginning in just a week from today. We hope that some of you will be able to participate in Pelzer, driving over to the South Point Baptist Church and getting an earful of that great material. Of course, Tony Romo has substituted for the Tyranny Response Unit here on Christian Worldview. We appreciate his efforts in doing so. He did such a great job. Well, what's in the news today, of course, is none other than the Pope's death. And what should we think about this? Well, this is a Christian Worldview program. It's not a Catholic Worldview program. And some people believe that Roman Catholics can be saved. Now, perhaps you're one of those people who believes that. I don't. I don't think Roman Catholicism is a Christian religion. I think it's a pagan religion. It's a mixture of Christian ideals and doctrines with paganism through the great synthesis accomplished by Constantine. And that people who hold the Catholic religion are not going to find themselves in the grace of God and converted in the final day of judgment because they're trusting in their own righteousness and in their own works or the traditions of men in order to be saved. Now, you may have a different view on that. We'd be happy to talk with you about it at Christian Worldview. But I just thought I'd get all my cards out, just lay them flat right on the table in case anybody's wondering what we would think about this because it is just dominating the news services today. Oh, he was such a good man, a conservative man. You have to appreciate his pro-life stance, which I do, and you have to appreciate his understanding of life and how conservative a pope he was. Well, there are many things I can appreciate him about as a man, and I do appreciate about him as a man, politically and otherwise, but there are many things I can't appreciate about him, and one of them is going to be his faith itself, which I think is completely apostate and dragging in the dirt the name of Jesus Christ, as well as the historic faith delivered once for all to the saints through the apostles and the teaching of Christ. But nevertheless, we have somebody else who would agree with my position. I noticed there's a story that came down from R.E. Sutherland. One of our researchers here at TRN found this out. And he says, now that the Pope has drawn his last breath, a Vatican official will lightly tap three times on the deceased pontiff's forehead with a golden hammer and calls his name. Upon receiving no reply, the Cardinal Chamberlain will remove John Paul's fisherman's ring and smash it. This begins the pagan Romish spectacle of choosing and crowning a new pope. The pope's death is the dawn of a defining moment for all those who claim to be born-again followers of Jesus Christ. Whether they call themselves Protestant or evangelical or just plain Christian, it does not take a prophet to state that the passing of Pope John Paul II will trigger a flood, or has triggered a flood of statements and discussions among Christian pro-life leaders, talk show hosts, and nationally known preachers. It also does not take a prophet to know that the dead pope will have mountains of complaints heaped upon him by many of those same individuals. Going a step further, it is safe to say that the presupposition underlying those eulogies and the recurring theme of the heart of them that there will be that the pope was a wonderful, godly man, a Christian, who is now in heaven. As I said, this is a defining moment. It is, in fact, an evangelistic moment, catching the attention of virtually the entire world. What should any true follower of Jesus say about such a man as Pope John Paul II? What should one who is assured a role as shepherd of Christ's flock or a spokesman for his church say about the Pope? Plainly and simply put, They should say that John Paul II was a counterfeit, a minister of Satan, 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15. They should tell the truth that he was an accursed man who deceived millions. Those who cannot tell the truth should not say anything. Those evangelical leaders who feel so compelled to express the affection and respect for Pope John Paul II do not seem to know or care that they are at the same time showing anything but love for the Roman Catholic people whom the Pope deceived and enslaved. They are certainly not showing respect for the Word of God, which the Pope, that man of sin, trod underfoot, and the blood of Jesus, which he counted as an unholy thing. And, well, I won't read the rest of his article. I think you get the point here. He is not mincing his words very well. And good for him. He should not. Because one of the two greatest foes, besides the devil himself, that we face in the world as Christians and those who love liberty, are false religion and the state. Our enemy is indeed the state, but our enemy is just as much false religion. Because no matter how much you believe in free markets or understand the correct way to organize society politically, you can still end up in hell if you've bought into a false religion. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll come back in just a minute to talk about the Pope and a whole lot of other stuff.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know, that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPROS, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPROS.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. We're talking about the passing of Pope John Paul II and our firm belief here at the Tyranny Response Network, especially on Christian Worldview, that the Pope is basking in hell at this moment. How can I say that more starkly? The Pope has been damned this morning. Why do I say that? Because he did not have faith in Christ, did not trust in the grace of Jesus Christ alone to save him, and because he taught so many others, obviously, contrary doctrines to these things. Now, was he conservative? Was he a good guy politically and so forth? Yeah, I don't doubt that. But, there's some reason to doubt it, perhaps, on points here and there. But in general, I don't doubt that The fact is, the matter is, good conservative people can still go to hell if they have been duped by false religion. Nevertheless, the Christian Coalition, who I get their regular emails from all the time, I just have these Christian Coalition things coming across my desk. Yesterday came out with this news blurb. It says, Christian Coalition praises the life of Pope John II. I think I mean Pope John Paul II, but at any rate. Washington, D.C., Christian Coalition of America praises the life of Pope John Paul II, a giant in the cause of life and freedom during the 20th century. Along with President Ronald Reagan and Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, Pope John Paul II will be noted for playing key roles in bringing down the evil empire, the empire of the communist Soviet Union. A great champion of the unborn and disabled, the Pope and the Catholic Church called the effort to kill Carrie Schiavo, removing her feeding tube, euthanasia by omission, and he condemned those who tried to do so. Just last month, Pope John Paul II urged Catholics around the world to defend the sanctity of human life after declaring a pro-life day in Italy. Christian Coalition of America President Roberta Combs said, Christian Coalition extends our sympathy to 1.2 billion members of the Catholic Church. Pope John Paul II was such a great hero of the pro-life movement, including his ardent support for the saving of life of Terry Schiavo just days before his death. He not only spoke about bringing freedom to the enslaved nations around the world, but he moved heaven and earth to bring about freedom for enslaved people through his actions. Well, we can agree with the Christian Coalition in this sense, that he was a champion of pro-life policy, and we appreciate that in his efforts politically. Once again, though, those things are overshadowed by the fact that this is a man which has led so many spiritually into decline, decay, and most likely eternal ruin. And if you have any questions or comments about the Pope or about other things that are in the news today, feel free to give us a call at Christian Worldview at 864-201-6955, 864-201-6955. Have a few oddball stories that came up, have come down to us over the weekend from the Tyranny Response Network staff. This one I thought was just really funny. The Darwin Award winner, looks like will be named for the March 2005 candidate. The Darwin Awards, by the way, have something to do with Darwinian evolution, but more in a humorous way. It's basically the one that takes himself out of the gene pool as far as the natural selection idea goes. He does something so stupid to get himself killed so that he can't possibly reproduce. The species continues to improve. At one hand, it's a mockery of Darwinism. On the other hand, it's just a play on words to try to show who was so dumb this year as to get killed by his dopey actions. Well, the Darwin winner is going to be probably this guy from March 2005. Here's the basic story. The following mind-boggling attempt at a crime spree in Washington, USA, appeared to be the robber's first and last due to his lack of previous record of violence and his terminally stupid choices. Number one, here are the facts. Number one, his target was H&J Leather and Firearms, a gun shop specializing in handguns. Second fact, the shop was full of customers, firearms customers. Third fact, to enter the shop, the robber had to step around a marked police patrol car parked at the front door. Fourth fact, A uniformed officer was standing at the counter, having coffee before work. Upon seeing the officer, the would-be robber announced a holdup and fired a few wild shots from a .22 target pistol. Fact number five, the officer and the clerk promptly returned fire. The police officer with a 9mm Glock 17, the clerk with the .50 caliber Desert Eagle, assisted by several customers who drew their guns, several of whom also fired. The robber was pronounced dead at the scene by paramedics. Fact six, crime scene investigators located 46 expended cartridge cases in the shop. Seventh fact, the subsequent autopsy revealed 23 gunshot wounds. Ballistics identified rounds from 7 different weapons. No one else was hurt in the exchange of fire. Fact 8. Here we are at the beginning of March, and we already may already have the 2005 winner of the Darwin Award. This guy is going to be hard to beat. Guess what's the moral of the story? If you plan to hold up a firearm store, don't do it when it's full of customers with handguns that are loaded, especially not a cop who happens to have his Glock by his side. And certainly don't walk in, announce what you're doing, and start firing wildly into the air with a .22 target pistol. Good grief, what a... Well, anyway, what can we say about such a guy? What a loser. What a dope. Anyway, you're listening to Christian Worldview this morning with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. We have a couple of emails that came in. One actually came in last week. Hadn't had a chance to read it on the air after being down that one day last week and a couple other things of just backlogging us with news stories. This question came in from a listener about last Wednesday's paper. In the top of the business section, the title in the Greenville News was "The IRS Loses $300 Billion to Confusion." It said it's not posted online. This is not posted online for GNP, but almost identical article is found elsewhere on the net, and you can just search for it if you're interested. There's an AP tax writer, story writer named Mary Dalrymple, I guess that's how you pronounce that, and she actually uploaded this story to the net Tuesday, March 29, 2005, and it was reported in the Greenville News. The title of the article implies it's just about interest, but there's much more. Two interesting statements appear together. First of all, and this is from an email from Chuck, it says, taxpayers were slightly less likely to comply with tax laws than they had been at the time of the latest previous study, completed in 1988. This research confirms that the vast majority of Americans pay their taxes honestly and accurately, said IRS Commissioner Mark Everson. People who aren't paying their taxes shift the burden to the rest of us. As you know, many Greenvillians and others belong to the Patriots organization. Among their many beliefs is the tax system is flawed. Most Americans do not owe income tax, and the IRS collects it unlawfully. Question: is it patriotic to not pay the income tax? The article would imply that it is unpatriotic, but I beg to disagree. If the Patriots are right, and I think they are, it is the IRS rather than the Patriots disobeying the law. The thinking in the article seems to be that espoused by Richard M. Nixon. I am the state is America, anyone against me is un-American and should be punished with all the tools at my disposal. I would also be interested in your analysis, asked Chuck, of the last sentence, patently false but commonly believed. People who aren't paying their taxes shift the burden to the rest of us. in liberty, Chuck. Well, I appreciate the email, Chuck. I wish I had caught that that story myself. I don't actually read the Greenville News since it is such a liberal rag. Do like to read the Times Examiner faithfully, but Greenville News is good for classified ads, maybe, and that's about it as far as I'm concerned. Sometimes the sports page is also appealing. When the Pac-10 is winning, or I suppose if your team's winning, it might be of some use. But at any rate, I would say, Chuck, that you're right on one count, that it seems very likely that the IRS is the one who's engaging in the unlawful activity, that in general, there's a very good case to be made that Americans don't need to be complying with the income tax rules, even though many people do comply with them. There's a large case that can be made, and there are many books that have been written, that you don't have to. Now, there's a huge debate on the Internet. You can go to the Quatloos, for instance, and they call people who don't pay and file income taxes dolts and torpid and stupid and foolish and these kinds of things. But they really don't have good answers for all of the questions that have been brought up by the researchers regarding the interpretation of the 16th Amendment, privileged incomes, the use of the 1040 tax system, how it emerged and what its purpose was, and why, in fact, it doesn't appear that most Americans even need to bother filing tax returns. Now, I'm not going to suggest that people not file tax returns here today. I'm saying that there is a good reason to believe that they don't have to. And if you're interested, pick up a copy of Pete Hendrickson's books, for starters, called Cracking the Code. And there are a number of other books, like Phil Hart has one, Constitutional Income, Do You Have Any? I encourage you to pick up both of those books, as well as many others that are available on the Internet, and see what you think. Decide for yourself whether it's constitutional and right to pay the income tax. Now, the last statement here, people who aren't paying their taxes shift the burden to the rest of us, is a false statement, in the sense that those who do not pay the income tax do not fund the welfare state as well as he would like, perhaps, but they do not shift any particular burdens upon them that have not been forced and thrust on them by the federal government. We should not have a welfare state. It's not envisioned in the Founding Fathers. It's not the idea of America to have people on welfare, to be receiving benefits from the state at the expense of other people, to loot one class and give to another. So in that particular sense, government is the one that burdens us with these kinds of programs and tries to extort money from us to pay to fund these particular programs. So when Richard Nixon is basically saying, look, you're against me, I can go and attack you with all things at my disposal if you don't pay up the money I want you to pay, he is not talking as an American. He's talking as a totalitarian, and that's essentially my comment about that, Chuck. Don't think that if you have a legal reason to not pay the income tax that you should have to do so. If you do have a legal reason to pay it, then by all means, do so. If you're required to file, then file a tax return. But take a look and see if you really are required to file. I believe the Greenville Patriots meet every first Saturday of the month at the Prime Sirloin Restaurant on Woodruff Road in Greenville. And they also meet in various other locations in Asheville, Fountain Inn, Charlotte, Atlanta, Columbia, and many other places throughout the Southeast. And there are other groups that also have similar visions that meet in various places throughout the Southeast. And I encourage you who are interested in the income tax issue, like Chuck, to go ahead and find a group and find out what's happening with their thinking. I have another email today also from Robbie, and he writes the following. Dr. Corbin. Now, my name is not Corbin, by the way. It's Cobin, C-O-B-I-N. There's no R, just FYI. Says, I am a 31-year-old male who has lived in Greenville, South Carolina my entire life. I am in law enforcement, as is most of the men in my family have been. Various events over the past few months and years have led me to write to you. I feel three branches of government have been corrupted by career politicians and judges who have no regard for our Constitution. Well, we couldn't agree with you more there, Robbie. I just heard about a court decision in Colorado that overturned a death sentence because the jury had discussed Bible verses that dealt with capital punishment. This is wrong. There's no reason why I need to get permission from the government to carry a weapon to protect myself from evildoers or to get permission to get married. This is wrong. Couldn't agree with you more on that statement there, Robbie. These institutions, or these intrusions, have been made slowly over time so that nobody would question them. Our government no longer works for the people of our nation, but for the leaders and politicians and judges who wish to gain more power. I would like to speak to you sometime concerning any ideas I have, as I as an individual can do, to begin the healing process of our nation. This evil activity cannot go on forever. Well, Robbie, you've opened up a huge question. I do appreciate everything you've written here. I think it's indicative of the decline of American politics and the state into the utter tyranny that we're heading towards headlong through the various activities of the state, the Patriot Act recently, the war on drugs, the phony wars that go on all over the world in order to increase these politicians' power, and the outright neglect and abandonment of the Constitution and the provisions of the Founding Fathers. So these things are certainly on the forefront of our minds here at Christian Worldview. What can you do to stop it? Well, read my articles in the Times Examiner for that last couple of weeks and the following 5 weeks here about Christian views on rebellion, because I think the only chance we have is civil disobedience at some point. The other thing we can do is be active in homeschooling and getting people out of public schools, because the public school or the government indoctrination center teaches kids to be little statists, to support the wrong side and to go against the ideals and standards of the Founding Fathers and those who love and cherish liberty. So those are a couple practical things that you can do. Get active in doing something. You know, you can always be active in political parties as well and a few other things, but we need people to be active and engaged in facing our enemy head on, not compromising with the enemy, not saying, well, it's okay to send my kids to the public school, they're not going to be harmed. They will be. And you not only need to get your own kids out of there, you need to encourage your neighbors to get their kids out of the place. You not only need to go and get people out of the Republican Party, you yourself need to get out, and you need to vote for third-party candidates that support liberty, namely the pro-life libertarian party or pro-life libertarians, I should say, or the constitutionalists, Constitution Party. So there's a couple ideas for you, Robbie. I really do appreciate the email. I think it's very timely. I'm glad to hear that you're listening to Christian Worldview. Hope it's been an encouragement to you. Thanks for being on board with us. You're again listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
H.L. Mencken, of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale, and as a matter of solemn duty in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from as a matter of common decency.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we would like to welcome you again back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's a little bit chilly outside. It's 46 degrees in Greenville, South Carolina at the moment, but don't let that fool you. It's going to be a beautiful day today. It's going to get all the way up to 76 degrees here in Greenville and going to be under sunny skies. So enjoy it. Wonderful spring day in Greenville, South Carolina. We want to remind you all to attend tonight for the free seminar called the 2005 Southern History Conference. It's going to be held at 211 White Oak Road, just behind the Woodlawn Memorial Park, off of North Pleasantburg Drive and off just north of Wade Hampton Boulevard. That's 211 White Oak Road. In a Spanish-speaking church there, you'll see the sign, the 2005 Southern History Conference. To kick it off tonight at 7 o'clock will be Pastor Carl Robbins from Woodruff Road Presbyterian Church talking about R.L. Dabney, the social conservative, and he will be followed by Pastor John Weaver from Freedom Ministries at 7:45, and he'll be speaking on the story of the Washington, D.C. Klan and how they've wreaked havoc on Southern culture over the years. Hope you can attend. Again, admission is free, 211 White Oak Road, 7 o'clock tonight. Please do your best to be there. You'll really enjoy it. I have one lighthearted thing here that came across my email over the weekend. You know you're our homeschooler if home economics classes start in kindergarten with the words, clean up your room. Summer break is optional. You know you're a homeschooler if visiting the grandparents can be considered a field trip if you stop and pick wildflowers by the roadside. You know you're a homeschooler if the lunch lady and janitor are also the career counselor, bus driver, woodworking teacher, coach, and school nurse. You know you're a homeschooler if there is no such thing as a snow day. You know you're a homeschooler if sick days aren't necessarily time off from schoolwork. You know you're a homeschooler if people look at you funny when you're at the grocery store at 1 p.m. and you don't assume there's something wrong with your hair or outfit. I never assume there's anything wrong with my hair or outfit at any rate. They must be speaking of somebody different than me. Anyway, you know you're a homeschooler if complete strangers feel comfortable quizzing you about history, math, or spelling facts. You know you're a homeschooler if your mom is prone to manic laughter when she realizes that the lost day of errands, catching up on laundry and yard work can all be counted as school. You know you're a homeschooler if pep rallies consist of mom and dad setting you down and saying, if you finish all your coursework by May 1st, we'll go to a theme park for the next weekend. You know you're a homeschooler if you can't figure out what the deal is with peer pressure. Why would you want to be like everyone else? You know you're a homeschooler if your dad's idea of all going fishing this Saturday quickly turns into a mini-unit study on pond population limits, eating habits of crappie and bass, and why tree frogs sound like that. You know you're a homeschooler if other kids think you're weird, then they think you're lucky, then they think you're cool, and start badgering their parent to homeschool them too. You know you're a homeschooler if your sister runs out of toothpaste and your mom assigns a new project, reinvent toothpaste from things around the house. You learn just how useful baking soda really is. I thought that was very lighthearted, humorous, and interesting as we think about homeschooling. For those of us who have been homeschooling for many years, many of those things mentioned are second nature realities for, or just realities for us. For those of you who are still afflicted by having your children in government schools or even in Christian schools, you may not be able to appreciate what the homeschool environment is like. But you certainly can appreciate the success that we have as homeschoolers, which has been nothing short of astounding. And it is our greatest weapon against the left as we produce a generation of people who can think for themselves, who are not going to succumb to the vanities and peer pressures inflicted upon the others who are going to schools various places and indeed can be the new champions for liberty in coming generations. One of our greatest enemies in America today is the National Education Association as well as the government school system, and we oppose it vehemently, if you haven't noticed, here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Well, speaking of weapons that we're going to be having in the future, there's been a few articles that appeared over the weekend. Thought I'd mention them to you because they are part of a reactive policy. After all, if we're Christians and we hold to a biblical standard for government, although we might differ on exactly what that might mean, we all agree that if there is to be government at all, it should be government that performs reactive policy. That is, one that protects us from predators, one that provides us with national defense, one that provides us with criminal justice protection. These kinds of things are the role of government. We do, none of us like the idea of a state. We see the state as our enemy. The transformation of a government into a state is an awful thing. Happened around 1861 here and has only gotten worse since. But what in the world can we use reactive what government should do is deal with reactive policy functions. We're coming up against a quick break. When we return, we'll continue to read a few of these articles and see what you think.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And there was an article by Mark Thompson that came out entitled America's Ultra Secret Weapon, HPMs. This came out on April the 2nd. It says, Every war has its wonder weapon. In Afghanistan, it was the Predator, the unmanned drone that would loiter invisibly over the battlefield before unleashing a Hellfire missile on the unsuspecting target. The Gulf War marked the debut of precision-guided munitions, and in Vietnam, helicopters came of age. World War II gave us the horror of nuclear weapons, and World War I introduced the tank, as well as mustard gas. If there is a second Gulf War, get ready to meet the high-power microwave. HPMs are... They could be the weapons that are targeting Saddam Hussein's stockpiles of biological and chemical weapons. HPMs fry the sophisticated computers and electronic gear necessary to produce, protect, store, and deliver such agents. The powerful electromagnetic pulses travel into deeply buried bunkers through ventilation shafts, plumbing, and antennas. But unlike conventional explosives, they won't spew deadly agents into the air, where they could poison Iraqi civilians or advancing U.S. troops. The HPM is a top-secret program, and the Pentagon wants to keep it that way. Senior military officials have dropped hints about a new classified weapon for Iraq, but won't provide details. Still, information about HPMs, first successfully tested in 1999, has trickled out. High-power microwave technology is ready for the transition to active weapons in the U.S. military, Air Force Colonel Eileen Walling wrote in a rare unclassified report on the program 3 years ago. HPMs can unleash a flash as much as a electrical power 2 billion watts or more as the Hoover Dam generates in 24 hours. Capacitors aboard missile discharge an energy pulse moving at a speed of light and impervious to bad weather in front of the missile as it nears its target. That pulse can destroy any electronics within 1,000 feet of the flash by short-circuiting internal electrical connections, thereby wrecking memory chips, ruining computer motherboards, and generally screwing up electrical components not built to withstand such powerful surges. Well, this is a very interesting story. I don't know how feasible it is to actually get the American military to use this sort of stuff, but it is a dramatic thing because it can affect not only the Saddam Husseins of the world, it can affect all sorts of things where the government wants to knock out, for instance, internet services or wipe out your web page storage or get rid of a kiddie porn industry or get rid of those who are supporting patriotic causes as well. No one is safe when there is this kind of weapon available if a target can be found even 1,000 feet from the epicenter would be wiped out. What's interesting also about this weapon, however, is it doesn't appear to kill people or to leave a lot of debris or fire or explosions or destruction of infrastructure. It literally just disables a military or a threat. So this should be somewhat appealing to us because war is genuinely a horrible thing. It is truly a hell. It's awful to have to go through. And certainly if anything could be alleviated, if anything could alleviate war, a Christian would seemingly want to be in support of it. So we need to keep our eye on this particular weapon, the HPM. If you have a comment about it, we'd love to talk with you about it here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. That may be our new great secret weapon against the high-tech sophisticated weaponry of today. Also have an article coming out on, relating to the military on base closings. Bush appoints a commission on base closings. Bush made the appointments while the Senate was in recess. The other commissioners nominated by Bush on March 15th also required a Senate confirmation, and they're waiting for that confirmation for these appointments. However, Trent Lott, who opposes base closures as a senator, has pledged to protect military facilities in his home state, placing on hold the Principe's nomination, according to aides and lobbyists speaking on condition of anonymity. The hold delayed voting on the nomination. The Senate Armed Services Committee has approved Principe's nomination and planned to review other nominations in the next few weeks. Lott has said the United States should not be closing bases while troops are at war. I will try to stop it at any point in any way I possibly can, he said in February. Senator John Warner, Republican for Virginia, chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, praised the appointment, saying the closures are important for national security. Defense Secretary Donald A. Rumsfeld must recommend base closures for consolidation by May 16th. Well, why is Trent Lott so in favor of keeping bases open? Well, because they provide jobs in your state, and literally communities shut down that are built up around a base and causes a lot of unemployment and a lot of havoc in an area when bases are closed. While we feel sorry for those people, we also have to say it's not necessarily necessary or good to have a lot of military standing around. While a Navy and an Air Force, perhaps, might always be necessary to be running full-time, it's not clear that we need a standing army. And so why do we need to be paying people to just hang around on bases and training and prepare for defense or war? These kinds of activities are very deleterious to a country because it's never smart to have violent people or people capable of violence just hanging around and caged up with nothing to do. This can lead to problems at home, but also can give people who are in politics or power-hungry, power-mongers, an itchy trigger figure where they're really looking for other wars to fight around the world or start around the world in their imperial quest. So on the one hand, we feel badly for the towns that suffer. On the other hand, we probably should be pleased to see the military getting reduced in size, especially the army. We don't really need to have a standing army. So, and again, questions or comments about that, if you disagree or you have another point of view that needs to be brought up or another aspect that I've forgotten to mention here, please do so. Give a call to the show, Christian Worldview, at 864-201-6955 between 7:30 and 9 Eastern Time. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
It may interest you to know that there is a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called The First Freedom, and a supporter of this show, Nelson Waller, offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson Waller at 864-642-4315 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at http://www.gulftel.com/first freedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 for a free copy. Something else that picks up where the liberal media leaves off is our local paper, the Times Examiner. You can order a copy for $25 a year delivered to your doorstep every week, $27 a year out of state. Give Bob Dill a call at 864-268-0576. Get columnists such as Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, Ben Graydon, Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, as well as many other fine columnists and local news from a conservative spin or a libertarian spin here in Greenville. Again, the phone number 864-268-0576. Give the Times Examiner a call today. Well, when talking about a number of things this morning, ranging from the Pope, if you missed it earlier on, to homeschooling and the public school a little bit, as well as the whole idea of reactive functions in the state. This leads into something that has been of great interest and important for people talking about the Christian worldview, either at our Friday, typical, our weekly Friday meeting at California Dreaming, which all of you are cordially invited to attend if you have a good listening ear and are just interested in hearing some of the things we discuss. I can meet over there at noon, between noon and 3, generally we're there on Friday afternoons to talk about public policy issues from a Christian worldview perspective. We also have quite a lively email discussion that's been going on lately with respect to the war on drugs and respect to the nature of the state. It really is surprising to me that even faithful listeners or people who have been involved with the Tyranny Response Network to some extent still don't realize that there are various Christian views or evangelical theologies of public policy. I would invite all of our listeners to go to the bottom of the webpage, policyofliberty.net, scroll all the way to the bottom, and where there's a link there that says take the quiz, go ahead and take the quiz. Why? Well, because you're going to find that there are four different views of public policy that are held by Christians, are evangelical and orthodox in all areas of their doctrine of salvation and the nature of God and the resurrection, the virgin birth, and the second coming, and so forth. Every Christian has a very different public policy view that can be reasonably taken out of the scriptures. Now, here at the Tyranny Response Network, especially Christian Worldview, we are largely supported by those who either have a liberty of conscience point of view or a theonomic point of view. And you may say, well, what are those things? Well, if you go and take the quiz, you'll find out pretty quickly. It all stems around the nature of the state and the Christian's response to public policy. In particular, how do we interpret Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, along, of course, with Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Those passages, which are often cited as pivotal passages, and in a sense they are pivotal passages, can be viewed in several different ways. One way is to say that the state is upholding the law of God, and therefore the state needs to be informed of the law of God and therefore must punish people that it thinks that God thinks are evil. That's the role of government, and our role as Christians is to get godly leaders into the state. Other Christians do not hold to that perspective. Let me just read Romans 13, 1 through 7. I haven't read a Bible passage on here in about a week, it seems. It's always good to do that on Christian Worldview. Romans 13, 1 through 7 says the following: let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only for the wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, there's something troubling right away when those of us who study these passages, or those who are into more in-depth theological studies and deal with these, or find when they're dealing with this particular passage, and that is, it's pretty clear that Roman Emperor Nero was in power. Now, Nero was not only the one who lit Christians up at night and to illuminate his garden by impaling them and putting tar on them and lighting them on fire in his garden. He was also a brutal attacker of the church in general, and probably broke every one of the Ten Commandments in his own lifetime, in his own lifestyle, in his own way of living, his own practice, including being an idolater, one who took the name of the Lord in vain, one who had other gods before Jehovah, one who was not respectful of his parents, in fact he killed his own mother, one who was an adulterer and a murderer, clearly, and a thief. Most likely one who was covetous as well and a Sabbath breaker. I have no reason to believe he upheld that particular commandment. Well, how is it then that this guy is up there punishing evil as God would define it to be evil? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Unfortunately, most Christians believe implicitly, that maybe they don't realize Nero was in power, that this passage suggests that Nero was that was doing so. That Christians who heard this were being told that their government authorities at that time, their state leaders, were there doing God's service by upholding God's law. Other people who are more informed, such as those in the theonomy camp, the Christian Reconstructionist camp, just realize this is impossible. The apostles would have to have been insane to say such a thing. And what's really happening here is you have a sort of parenthetical annotation or a theoretical digression where Paul is saying, look, we talked about this very practical section of how you should live and rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, and do not overcome evil, overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, and so forth. Then he says, I'm just going to tell you a little abstraction here. This is how the civil government should be like. And it may not happen until the post-millennial golden age, or rarely happen, but ideally, let me just tell you what government should be like. He's not talking about Nero here. He's talking about an idealized state. Or you can take the liberty of conscience position, which is quite different. That is my position that I hold. And that's that the words good and evil here in this passage do not refer to good and evil the way God defines good and evil, but to the way Nero or Stalin or any other political leader, including George W. Bush, would define good and evil. They would uphold a standard and say, you do good if you're an idolater, an adulterer, a murderer, etc., and we're going to reward you for that. If, however, you're a Christian, one who does good, one who upholds the law of God in your own lives and tries to preach the gospel, then we're going to assail you as an evildoer. And the interpretation of those words becomes very, very important. So depending on which particular view you hold, you're going to have a very different interpretation not only the nature of the state, what the Christian's response to public policy is, and what our expectations are of the state when we go ahead and elect officials, when we're pursuing our course of public policy here in this life. Well, we come up to our bottom of the hour break. If you'd like to talk about this, we'd love to hear from you on Christian Worldview. Please do give a call to the show, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
H.L. Mencken. Of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale, and as a matter of solemn duty, in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from as a matter of common decency.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
So glad you joined us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Hope we're making your day a little brighter. And speaking of bright days, it's a little bit cool this morning in the upper 40s at the moment, but it's going to warm up rather quickly and going to be just a beautiful sunny day with a high of 76 here in Greenville, South Carolina. So enjoy it. Hardly anything beats the April time in Greenville in South Carolina. It's a beautiful month. Makes me not miss home so much, at least the weather there in Southern California during April here in Greenville, South Carolina. Just a great day today. Hope you're able to get a lot done. Hope you're able to think a little bit better, too, today, that you're able to overcome the gullibleness of the gullible tendencies, of the Christian right and even those who are listening to common talk radio shows. This is an uncommon talk radio show because you hear things that are different here. You become more informed by listening to our show, and we talk about news that is not talked about anywhere else and angles that are not talked about anywhere else here on Christian Worldview. One of them is to read a very interesting article entitled, Yes, Mommy, This is a Well-Regulated State. This is by Mr. Fred Reed, the Fred on Everything columnist for the Washington Times. He says, we tell ourselves that in America we are the free people. I wonder whether we might not be better called the obedient people, the passive people, or the admonished people. I doubt that any country anywhere has been so regulated, controlled, and directed as we are. We are bred to obey, and obey we do. It begins with the sheer volume of law, rules, and administrative duties. Most of the regulation makes sense in isolation or can be plausible, yet there is so much of it. One illegal act can result in being charged or violating several applicable laws with accumulated penalties. This is why the USA is the world's largest percentage of its population imprisoned. Used to be, if you wanted a dog, you got a dog. It wasn't really the government's business. Today, you need a dog license, a shot card for the dog, a collar and tags, proof that the poor beast has been neutered, and if you have to keep it on a leash and walk it, only in designated places. It is also we don't get rabies. Or consider cars. You have to have a title, insurance, and keep it up to date. Tags, county sticker, inspection sticker, emissions test, depending on where you are. You can't have chips in the windshield, and you need a zoned parking permit. Or you have to wear a seatbelt. And, of course, there are unending traffic laws. You can get a ticket for virtually anything, usually without knowing that you were doing anything wrong. Then there's paperwork. If you have a couple of daughters with college funds in the stock market, annually you'll have to fill out three sets of federal taxes, three sets of state, and file our state and four federal estimated tax forms per person for a total of 24. This doesn't include personal property taxes for the county, business licenses, tangible business asset forms, and so on. No, I'm not suggesting that all these laws are bad, stupid frequently, but evil, no. This is a from the tyranny response unit there. Stopping at traffic lights is probably a good idea, and certainly it is if I'm crossing the street. But the laws never end. Bring a donut on the subway, and you get arrested. Don't replace your windows without permission in writing from the condo association. Nothing is too trivial to be regulated. Nothing is not some government's business. I wonder whether the habit of constant obedience to indefinitely or infinitely numerous rules doesn't inculcate a tendency to obey a rule at all. By having every aspect of one's life regulated in detail, does not one become accustomed to detailed regulation, that is, detailed obedience? For many, it may be hard to remember for your times. They existed in 1964 when I graduated from high school in rural Virginia. There were speed limits, but nobody much enforced them or much obeyed them. You wanted to fish, you need a pole, not a license. You fished where you wanted, not in designated fishing zones. You wanted to carry your rifle into the bean field to shoot whistle pigs, you just did it. You didn't need a license, and nobody got upset. But to buy a shotgun in the county store, you needed money, not a background check, waiting period, proof of age, certificate of training, and registration form. If your taillight burned out, then you only had one taillight. If you wanted to park on a back road with your girlfriend, the cops, both of them, didn't care. You wanted to swim in the creek, you didn't need a Coast Guard approved life jacket. It felt different. You lived in a world as you found it, and because you were supposed to, you didn't feel as though you were in a white-collar prison. And if anyone had asked us, we would have said that freedom was worth more to us than any slightly greater protection against rabies, thank you, which nobody ever got at any rate. Today, the mommy state never leaves off protecting us from things I'd just as soon not be protected from. We must wear a helmet on a motorcycle. Why is it mommy government's business whether I wear a helmet? In fact, I do wear one, but it shouldn't be my decision. And it goes from administrative minutiae, emissions inspections, to gooberish mommy know-it's-bestism, wear your life jacket, Johnny, to important moral decisions. Obey in small things, obey in large things. You must hire a correct proportion of this and that ethnic group. Watch your sex balance. Prove that you have the proper attitude towards homosexuals. You must let your children be politically indoctrinated in appropriate values. You must let your daughter get an abortion without telling you. You must accept affirmative action no matter how morally repugnant you find it. And we do. We are the obedient people. As the regulation of our behavior becomes more pervasive, so does the mechanism of enforcement grow more nearly omnipresent. In Washington, if you eat in the subway, they really will put you in handcuffs, as they recently did to a girl of 12. In 1964 in King George County, the cop would have said, "Sally, stop that. Arresting a child for sucking on a sour ball would never have entered into a state trooper's mind." Which brings us to an enormous and ominous observation. America is absolutely capable of totalitarianism. It won't be the jackbooted variety, but rather a mindless bureaucratic insistence on conformity. What we call political correctness is an American approach to political control. Think about it. Arresting the girl eating on the subway, confiscating the nail clippers at security gates, the countless ejections from school of little boys for drawing soldiers on the trade centers in flames, playing cowboys and Indians for pointing a chicken finger and saying bang. This is an intelligent authoritarianism aimed at purposeful if disagreeable ends. It's the behavior of petty and stupid people, of minor minds overempowered, ignorant but angry, and charmed to find that they can push others around. It is the excuse of power by people who have no business having any. The judicial branch of government has usurped power over the executive and legislative branches, but the judges who've ignored the required good behavior should be impeached. End of story. Excellent article today. Really appreciate this guy writing in the Washington Times, believe it or not. It's this kind of stuff that we need to wake up Americans, because especially those of us who are Christians have been not only gullible, we've been led by the Pied Piper and are just about to fall over the cliff into totalitarianism because of all the endless rules and regulations. And if you're a divine writer this morning, those who believe that the government is the state is the oracle of God and you must obey every rule, how are you doing today? Are you able to keep up with all these different rules? You've been reading your law books to make sure you haven't violated any of those rules that are mentioned in this article or elsewhere. You don't want to sin, brother. Well, I'm making fun of you, but I think the whole position is just spurious and foolish. That would hold to a divine right position, as you know, if you've listened to me long enough. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're trying to provide lots of roughage for your brain this morning. We appreciate you listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Just a reminder that this evening you'll have an opportunity to attend the Southern History Conference. It starts at 7 o'clock. Admission is free. 211 White Oak Road, just off of North Pleasantburg, behind the Woodlawn Memorial Park, which is just north of Wade Hampton Boulevard here in Greenville. Tonight you'll be treated to Pastor Carl Robbins at 7 o'clock from Woodruff Road Presbyterian Church, talking about R.L. Dabney, the social conservative, and immediately followed by Pastor John Weaver from Freedom Ministries. He'll be talking about the story of the Washington, D.C.'s Klan and their infiltration of Southern heritage, Southern culture, and so forth. Hope you can, you'll have a chance to attend that. This evening starts at 7 o'clock. Again, admission is free. We'll be taping those and hopefully replaying them here on the Tyranny Response Network as well. Another story came in from our great research staff. I have just a wonderful volunteer research staff who sends me all sorts of interesting things and helps me scour the internet for news stories. Internet is a great thing for getting information, especially as it pertains to those of us who hold a Christian worldview and who love liberty at the same time. Here's an article that came down from John Newby. Actually, it's a couple days old on News with Views, and they shall become one. He says, we read in the Bible where man and women shall leave their parents, marry, and become as one. Delete the men and women portion from that great biblical teaching, and we have Republican and Democratic parties in our country. Before you choke on your breakfast omelet, let me explain. I'm not insinuating they spew the same message, which would be difficult as they talk out of both sides of their cheeks. That could be facial or rear-sided cheeks. Pick your poison. No, what the representatives of these parties say is starkly different, as one can attest to while getting their nightly fix of mainstream media propaganda being shown by the network Troika. Don't be mistaken. You'll hear pro-choice versus pro-life stances. You'll hear pro-Iraq versus no-Iraq messages. You'll hear raise taxes versus cut taxes. You'll hear seal the border versus open borders. You'll hear we need to cut spending versus we need to increase spending. You'll hear we need to support the Constitution versus the Constitution is outdated. You'll hear that outsourcing has got to stop versus it does no harm. You'll hear where we've got to stop global warming versus it's not a man-made problem. Yes, listening to the two major parties, one would believe that all potential points of views are covered. One might call it their own political buffet of sorts, something to please everyone. While the message of both major parties is starkly different, their intent and the results are magically the same. For all the verbal differences, we just seem to migrate to the same old direction regardless of who's steering the mothered ship. Let's review just a few interesting points. Spending. It's pretty confusing when the Democrats become fiscally conservative to battle the Republicans' spendthrift ways. Immigration. Bush claims the volunteers offering to watch the borders are vigilantes. Democracy, one of the worst forms of government created, yet promoted by all. United Nations, anyone promoting this organization should be impeached and tried for high treason. Amen. Patriot Act violates just about every tenet of the Constitution of our country. Federal Reserve allows private control of our nation's money policy. Court appointments should be rather conservative now, as most have been selected by Republican presidents. The old saying, who needs enemies with friends like these, comes to mind. We've heard the analogy that the right has moved towards the center and the left has moved further left over the past 20 to 30 years. However, if that be the case, we have one problem. Truth, or right and wrong, as you will call it, doesn't move. You'll hear talk of political gray areas. Well, gray areas are for those unable and willing to make up their minds. Our political hacks bank on the gray area as their battleground, for it is there where we are led astray. Or put another way, it is there we are led as a lamb to the slaughter. Being a Christian conservative, one of the most disturbing aspects of the con job is the gullibility of this group. And Christians are, unfortunately, very gullible. That's what we're working on here in Christian Worldview, by the way, to make Christians less gullible. It is as if they have their own trance, unable to see the true nature of the beast. I can visualize Teddy Kennedy and John McCain having a great laugh over the nightly glass of brew as they discuss their latest fleecing of the gullible American people. Conned again, and none the wiser, the American sheeple continue to support the lesser of two evils, thinking that we can slow down that treacherous slide to the slippery slope. Problem is that far too many slivers are pointing the wrong direction to make the wrong direction, and that doesn't bode well for our backside. Problem is that too many slivers are pointing the wrong direction, and that doesn't bode well for our backside. Well, appreciate John Newby's comments this morning. Couldn't agree with you more. There is no major difference between the two major political parties, and if we continue to vote for them, we're going to end up with more chaos. We'd encourage you, as we at Tyranny Response Network do, to go for right-wing conservative, true conservative parties like the Constitution Party, or my favorite, the Libertarian Party, as long as it has a pro-life candidate. Would appreciate you thinking to do the same thing. If you're going to have any chance of change, it's not going to be by voting for the same thing all over again. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we're doing precisely that today on Christian Worldview, Worldview with Dr. John Coben, hurling liberalism with great force. Here's our research staff sent me an article that says, John, they're barking up the wrong tree. The state of Kansas, the state trees, that is. Have you Christians, says one of my researchers, looking to the state to protect and read more control over, or take more control of, marriage. Kansans poised to vote on marriage amendment by Kerry Gillum from Reuters News Agency. Kansas City, Kansas, marriage is the big topic in Kansas this weekend. Yard signs are up, radio ads are running, and May Day for Marriage rally is set for today. Following the lead of more than a dozen other states, Kansas scheduled a vote Tuesday on whether to amend the state constitution to ban same-sex couples from marrying, quote-unquote. One of the toughest in the nation, Kansas' proposed ban also would prevent homosexuals from receiving any of the rights of incidents of marriage. We don't want same-sex unions to be considered equal to marriage, said Mike Farmer, Kansas Catholic Conference Executive Director. This message is about hate, the opposition said. The opposition is holding its own rally today and lined up nearly 100 clergy who say the measure violates Christian teachings. They've raised about $35,000 and papered are prepared for a loss. We'll lose, but it's not right, said Reverend Robert Menley, a retired Presbyterian minister who opposes the amendment. If we believe that we are made in God's likeness, we all need to be respected and treated the same. Well, what does that have to do with a marriage amendment? I don't know. But I'll tell you this much. The whole problem stems back even farther than many Christians know. We need to get rid of state regulation of marriage at all. There should be no licensing. The state should not be involved with marriage. There should be no privileges handed out. Once we get rid of marriage licensing and state privileges for any kind of marriage, this whole homosexual or sodomite thing goes away. What we need to do is encourage people to marry as God commanded them to do and use things like a marriage covenant contract, a religious ceremony in front of witnesses, and marry in the church as people did everywhere before 1930. It's only after that point that marriage licensing and the state's intrusion into marriage became more predominant, and so that's our main solution. The Kansas solution, using the government, I think is misguided, although I obviously sympathize with those since I'm not a sodomite, nor do I support sodomy, although on the other hand, I don't want the state to attack sodomites. I certainly don't want to give them benefits either for being so-called married. Just absolutely absurd. Best way to do it, though, eliminate marriage licensing altogether. Forget about having state intrusions into marriage. Doesn't belong there. Another article came up today from the research staff about the motivation of Southerners. I should remind people that this is Southern Heritage Month. So if you're a true Southerner like me from Southern California or elsewhere in the South, such as South Carolina, you want to make sure that you remember Southern Heritage this month. That's why we have the 2005 Southern History Conference going on this week here in Greenville. And that's why you'll see many stories coming up pro-Confederate, pro-Southern heritage. Here's a story that came up. From a research staff, again, from Jeff Melton on motivating Southerners. Every day you're likely to pick up a newspaper or watch the television on some attack on Southern culture. Recently, the cowardly Virginia legislature voted against the recognition of a Confederate History Month. Of course, they, like all Southern states, continue to recognize the Black History Month shoved down the throats of children at government schools. During the process of the vote of the Virginia legislature, idiotic comments from the left abounded, including Richmond Senator Henry Marr suggesting that having a Confederate History Month would be like having a Third Reich History and Heritage Month, and called the mere idea of a Confederate History Month repugnant. Richard Saslaw and Janet Howell, also in the Virginia Senate, made similar idiotic remarks. With these idiots, I guess that's a polite or kind word to use for these people. Kind enough for Christian Worldview, any rate. With these idiots, or will these be idiots be voted out of office? Perhaps they will, if they are not in safe districts, gerrymandered so that liberals like themselves would have a safe seat. However, there is another problem as well, so prevalent among Southern people, the tolerance for idiotic attacks like this against our culture without even attempting to do anything about it. This problem is not unique to Virginia, and I certainly have no desire to single that state out. The problem exists in my home state of North Carolina as well, and I am certain that, regardless of where you live, you can cite other examples in your respective states. I wish we could just say that the problem only exists in a certain area, but there is plenty of inactivity and apathy to go around. This is a serious problem for anyone who really wants to see the Confederacy put in its proper light, and is deadly to any hope of rejuvenating out our people to shake free of their political bondage. And we'd like to encourage those of you who are listening to be informed about your own Southern heritage, or even if you're not a Southerner, to be informed about Southern heritage and culture, because it is truly important. America died with the South when Lincoln invaded the South and suppressed the good people of the North who supported the Southern vision of independence, secession, the Southern ideals. When those people were suppressed, the editors were expelled from the country, shut down, the newspapers were shut down, legislatures and prominent people were imprisoned without appeal, without being even charged for years by Lincoln, and then the South was invaded and attacked. When they eventually lost that war and succumbed to the miseries thrust upon them by the North in their aggression and invasion, truly, America died. We ended at that point the constitutional vision of the framers was lost in 1865, and it's only gotten worse since then. We want to laud you who uphold Southern heritage, therefore, and we want to encourage everyone to get a hold of some material this month and think about Southern culture, Southern heritage, the Confederacy, the war between the states, and so forth. And we will certainly support it here on Christian Worldview, any such endeavors, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're so glad you joined us this morning. We look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. We've run out of time for today, folks, but we look forward to another great show on the Tyranny Response Network tomorrow with Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.